Let's pray together and ask God's rich blessings on the preaching of his word. Good to see you all. What a glorious day it is. Some of the heat has broken, and we're grateful to God for that. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God written and how you have gifted the church with the invitation to men and women to proclaim the word of God. And we do so today under the rubric and wonderful trusting heading that the word of the Lord will be our rule, because the Holy Spirit is here to anoint us and quicken us and cause a fervent desire within us for being more like Jesus Christ. And come, Holy Spirit, enrich everything so that the greater glory of God is always our supreme concern. And we thank you for that, Lord, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, please hear the word of God on this sermon entitled Complete My Joy to the Glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, 1 and 2, we read it, you can hear it again. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any participation in the Spirit, in affection and sympathy, make my joy complete, or complete my joy. Now that again is the totally trustworthy, totally without error, completely without contradiction, written word of God, the divine word in human words. And it's there for our edification and upbuilding and training in righteousness. So when the apostle says, complete my joy, something's going on there that is an invitation to you and to me to seek our joy for the glory of God in Jesus Christ. So that's what this sermon's theme is today. God's exhortation to you to complete, check it out, your own joy in Jesus Christ for the sake of the greater glory of God and the edification of his people, the church of the Lord. Very, very important stuff. Now, I'll just put this bald biblical statement right out there for you, okay? No higher human joy is possible for you than the Christian's joy in God through Jesus Christ. The great reason for being God's church is to glorify God in our increasing joy in Jesus Christ, in mission, in ministry, in fellowship, in worship, and in evangelism, the advance of the gospel, which is what Philippians is all about. Again, there's no greater achievement on the human level than building each other up in joy in the most holy faith in Jesus Christ, all in the context of a joy that glorifies God, who we must say, obviously, God is most glorified in us when we are most joyful and satisfied in him. I think that probably seems intuitively, as well as biblically speaking, indisputable. So, how's it going with your heart of joy this morning? Joy, joy, joy in my heart is ringing. Joy, 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 Jesus sets me singing. Singing of his mighty love for me. Telling how he died to set me free. Filling all my heart with melody. Singing joy, joy, joy. How's that working for you? We have to admit, don't we, that that's not always the case with us. We are saved sinners. We're imperfect. We all have a certain level of struggle, don't we, with trying to maintain a high level of joy in Jesus Christ this side of the Jordan River. Constant joy is not easy. Sometimes we're just like Charlie Brown, aren't we? Charlie Brown in one Peanuts cartoon is kind of standing there, and he looks a little confused, and he's having one of his frustrating moments, and of course, Lucy is there, good old philosophizing, somewhat patronizing, somewhat pedantic Lucy, and she's holding forth court, and she's got the stage, and she is saying, Charlie Brown, you need to know that life is a lot like a deck chair. Some place their deck chair so they can see where they're going. Some place their deck chair so they can see from where they've come. And some place their deck chair so that they can know right where they are today. And then she said, what do you think about that, Charlie Brown? And Charlie Brown sighs and says, I can't even get mine unfolded. I can't even get my deck chair unfolded. And I mention Charlie Brown because I want to set that image before you, the image of a deck chair. And the deck chair is the deck chair of joy, your own joy, seeking your own joy, unfolding your own joy to the glory of God. So how then can you deepen your own joy, as well as the joy of others in Jesus Christ, for the sake of glory, the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit? How can you get your deck chair of Christian joy unfolded? And again, dare you say to one another, as Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, complete my joy. Do I say to you, complete my joy? Do you say to someone else, complete my joy? That's a question about your increasing your own joy. And in this passage, the answer is, yes, you dare say that. And the answer is, yes, you should say that. And that answer is actually in the opening verses of 1 and 2, focused around the Holy Trinity. And isn't it wondrous when we find in a tight little sentence or two passage the evidence of the affirmation of God, the Blessed Trinity? God be praised, the Holy Trinity is here in this passage, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, eternally subsisting of the one same essence in power equal and glory equal, different functions, yes, true, but one God, three persons. That's not saying all that in that passage. Just thought I'd rehearse what the Trinity is as we know it in the wider biblical corpus. But in this passage particularly, there is a joy that is rising out of the Trinity and kind of summoned forth for you to engage in. This passage shows the one true and only triune God impacting you as a Christian in three joyful ways declared in the opening verse 1 of chapter 2. And these three ways brought joy into Paul's life, and they're to bring joy into our lives too. Everybody needs joy. I'm not going to have any disputing on that, am I, this morning? We need joy to get us through life's ups and downs. We need joy to get us through the clear moments and the confusing moments. So my point number one is that Philippians 2:1 gives you three ways whereby the divine Trinity comes home into your hearts with joy. Please hear God's word again. So there, and I'll give you these three ways. So if there is one, any encouragement in Christ, two, and of course the numbers aren't there, any comfort in love, three, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. I hope you see that here are three ways of promoting joy that connects with the three persons of the Trinity. Way number one for your joy, to get your deck chair unfolded and for you to sit in that deck chair. Way number one, Paul says, if there is any encouragement in Christ. None of us would deny that encouragement is a joy promoter, and its opposite, discouragement, is a joy stealer. When you encourage others, as well as when others encourage you, it helps all of us get our deck chair of joy unfolded and facing in the right direction. The Bible says here in verse 1, if there is any encouragement in Christ, Jesus Christ brings us encouragement in countless ways. We are en Christo. 67, 68 times the Apostle Paul uses this phrase in his writings, en Christo. You are in Christ. We are mystically united to Jesus Christ in union and communion and sacred Lord's Supper communion with him, yes. And we are participating in his resurrection. You've been raised and you're seated at the right hand of God in Christ, mystical union. Jesus Christ, by way of encouragement, by way of joy, he's your salvation. Jesus is your justification. Jesus is your glorification. Jesus is your sanctification. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Jesus in prayer. God made Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made Christ who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And all of that is to bring you joy in God. Way number 2 here in verse 1, going with the Trinity. But before we look at this, well, let me just say quickly, because you probably already gathered it. When the apostle says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any comfort in love, if there's any participation in the Spirit, you know, make my joy complete or complete my joy. That's not a supposed if, as in, let's imagine a scenario that might be, that might not be. No, this is a presupposed thing. In other words, it's like saying, since there is encouragement in Christ, and since there is comfort in love, and since there is participation in the Holy Spirit, so that's an automatic and solid given. So therefore, anyway, it brings us to the second one about since there is comfort in love. Now here, very interestingly, did you catch it? On this part of the sandwich, you have the piece of bread that says if there's any encouragement in Christ. And on this part of the sandwich, you have the other piece of bread that says, if there or since there is participation in the Spirit, in affection and sympathy. And then right in the middle of that sandwich of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you have if there is comfort in love. Well, who do we know is love? God is love. So all the commentators and all the scholars come to this, and they realize how Trinitarian the Apostle Paul is in all of his writings. And so they are saying he just doesn't say it, but we are to understand that this is Christ here, and this is the Holy Spirit here, and this is the love of God the Father, who so loved the world that God the Father gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you're seeing the Trinity here, and that brings us then to the Father's love coming to you. And you're to recognize that this is, by the apostle, the exaltation of the one true God, three persons, maker of heaven and earth, and savior of your soul. Now, I hope that makes good sense to you all. Any comfort in love. I also hope it makes sense to you all why I am saying these are contributory to your joy in your salvation in the triune God, even though that joy is not explicitly stated here in this opening verse 1. Sure, you have, if there's any participation in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and because he dwells in you, that encourages us all, you and me both, to have joy in God, because the Spirit is the down payment of Christ's inheritance and our being the inheritance to Jesus Christ. And all of that truth of eternal life and the intractability, you can't get the Spirit out of us. The Holy Spirit will indwell you through the moment of your death. That substantiates you not in a radical sadness that looks at life as nothing but a hopeless degradation into greater darkness and frustration no matter what we face. That's substantial reason for an ongoing joy. But I'm assuming that this encouragement in Christ, this love of comfort in the Father, this presence of the Holy Spirit and affection and sympathy in you, I've said the reasons for Paul's joy, and I hope you understand why I'm doing that. Why am I assuming that we are understanding this Trinitarian relationship that we have with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to bring joy into our Christian lives from verse 1? Well, I'm assuming it because of the beginning of verse 2, where after these three truths are really pushed into our hearts and minds, the ones we just looked at, that's when the apostle says, complete my joy. Complete my joy. So again, I know it's not explicit, but go with me, because I believe it's implied that the apostle has joy in his godly friendship with them that arises out of encouragement in Christ, their mutual love from God the Father, the participation in the Holy Spirit, and it's that delicious triad of joy that moves the Apostle Paul now to write, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This isn't his idea alone, no. He's borne along by the breath of the Spirit blowing on him as he writes. That's what caused him to say, complete my joy. Do you get that? It's kind of like saying, this strawberry cheesecake is delicious. Can I have some more? You know? Do you get that? Well, everybody knows when I say, can I have some more? They know that the some more refers to the cheesecake. As in, will you please kindly complete my appetite for dessert? In other words, back to the Bible, Paul's saying, I've got joy from all that we are together by way of the Trinity, our relational connection with Christ's encouragement, with the Father's love, and the participation and affection from the Holy Spirit. But hey, God is God, and God is infinite, and He is inexhaustible, and He's a big, big God, so my joy can deepen and be enhanced further. So will you please complete my joy? Well, again, the relevant question becomes how? What's in the text? How can we help each other to get the deck chairs of our joy unfolded and then, in a sense, polish our own chairs of joy, so to speak? Well, here's what the Word of God says in verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, church, having the same love, church, being in full accord and in one mind, church. This is all in the plural. This is all together. You know, I used to go to Ocean Grove, New Jersey, and I once spoke in their metropolitan church building, which seats 4,000, when I was a younger dude, and it wasn't filled, unfortunately. I think there were like 20 people there. No, there were more than that. But that was a wonderful place. But it was interesting. You walk around Ocean Grove, New Jersey, and it was all Elizabethan architecture and all these vast porches on these side streets that did not even face the ocean. These side streets that faced our houses over here and houses over here. All the deck chairs were set like this, looking outward. So you walk down the street, and here's all these older gentlemen and older ladies and whoever, and they're all sitting looking that way. But you see, this is the church here. You just want to say, hey, will you turn your deck chairs into a circle and kind of connect with each other? Because the joy of completing the joy of each other and completing my joy is always in connection with each other. So point number two, and this point I ask you, please hang in there with me. Please put your thinking caps on with me. Because you might be saying, just wait a minute here, Pastor Jeff. Doesn't it sound kind of self-serving for Paul to say, complete my joy? Why doesn't he say, I want you to complete your joy because I'm always only thinking of you. I don't want to think of me because that's selfish. What's going on here? This is the Word of God. This is the Holy Spirit that put this here for you and me to kind of perk up and say, what is going on? I'll tell you what's going on here. It's the heart of the deepest underlying foundational structure of Philippians. And if we can get this, well, we can energetically unfold our deck chairs of joy without hesitation and without guilt in most every situation, dire or happy in life, even in prison, where Paul is or was when he wrote this epistle under the inspiration of the Spirit and wrote all this joy stuff. I mean, you are to go for it. You are to go for your joy. That's what the message is here. Let me try to explain. I hope I can do this because it's a bit layered. First, please recall that in this prison epistle, this letter written from a dungeon, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses the word for joy in its various forms 16 times in 4 short chapters, 104 verses. Second, please recall, too, that those 16 times of joy have an ultimate reason for their enactment. They are given and they are driven inevitably into and for and by the glorification of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pure and simple, your joy glorifies God. It's a great truth that your joy glorifies God. Remember the old joke about the little niece who went to her Aunt Emma's farm? And Aunt Emma was a Christian and always was sourpussed about this, saying, don't do that, don't do this, stop doing that. And it was just sadness all around. And one day the little girl's out on the farm walking around and hears a long-faced mule. And the little girl goes up and pats the mule tenderly, compassionately, and says, it's all right, Mr. Mule. My aunt's got religion too. because her aunt was a Christian. I might have left that out. That would have helped. But you see, the point is, God is glorified by your joy. God's passion for his own glory is actually the measure of his commitment to your joy in Jesus Christ. Your joy as a Christian. That God is most glorified in us when we are most joyful in him. God is for your joy. He's not against your joy. And he wants you to pursue your own joy like a kid playing pirate with a rubber knife gritted between his teeth as he's stalking golden doubloons and imaginary treasure out there, ready to defend what he finds with his life or with his knife. Church, stalk your joy. God wants you to do this. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing, but not for selfish reasons in the sense of complete my joy by putting $50,000 in my bank account. Do you see the altruistic impact of his heart? Complete my joy by your being of one mind, having one soul, having one joy together, having the mind of Christ in you. That's the way I want you to complete my joy. In other words, there is a joy that you seek, isn't there, that actually rises with the benefit of those to whom you're speaking or hanging out with. Are you feeling that? It's a wondrous joy, and God wants you to stalk it. And when you hear it, and when you feel that, then you understand Philippians 4:4 is one of the 16 places dealing with joy, where the command, the imperative, is coming to you. Now hear this. This is your captain, Jesus Christ, speaking, commanding, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. How can you do that if you don't seek your own joy? Stock your joy in Jesus Christ. That is the underlying foundational structure. Because why? Your joy glorifies God. And all these passages keep coming back. They circle around, don't they? Like they're going for a touchdown every time, an end run, up the middle run, a pass, who cares? Let's get the touchdown, and the touchdown is the glory of God. It's what John Piper calls the dangerous duty of delight. Because anybody can come and sit in church with a ho-hum attitude. But it takes a regenerate life, touched by the Holy Spirit, touched by encouragement in Christ, to say with sacred passion, I will go hard after God, and I'm going to go hard after my joy in Jesus, knowing that God's most glorified in me when I'm most delighted and joyful in Jesus Christ my Lord. And to see that is to understand that it's not at all self-serving. No, no, no. For Paul to say, hey, you, make my joy complete. Complete my joy. Because he has in mind constantly that with which this very section ends in verse 11. That the ultimate aim of it all, our joy being the greater glory of God. You see, you magnify God, the Trinity, not by the magnification of a microscope, but by the magnification of a telescope. A microscope takes that which is tiny and seemingly invisible and makes it able to be seen. But a telescope encompasses the grand and the glorious distant star in the night sky and makes it able to be viewed clearly. We magnify, in a sense, the distant, the great, almighty, vast, and immense God, triune God, by bringing him close to each other, by our joy over his being seen and felt and known and heard. And that is joyous, and the aim of our joy and the necessity of your pursuing your own joy in Jesus is that God is closer thereby to be seen and felt in the community of faith. So to support this truth, as I was getting at, verse 11, which wraps up this pericope or this paragraph we're in and finishes up on the nature of Jesus Christ, which we'll look at next week. How does that paragraph end? How does this section conclude? Well, you know where I'm going with this. Chapter 2, verse 11, the same chapter we're in. Here it is. Conclusion. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't stop there. To the glory of God the Father. Oh, say it again, huh? Oh, love it with all your heart. Oh, rejoice over it. Summon forth your sacred emotions of joy over it. To the glory of God the Father. That's our heartbeat. That's our blood pulse. That's our That's my blood pressure to the glory of God the Father, and I'm 210 over. No, I'm really not, because we want to live, huh? But that's what's on Paul's mind. Do you feel that? Do you love that? That's what's on Paul's mind when he says, hey, you guys, complete my joy. Complete, because I want to glorify God. That's where the Holy Spirit wants you to know that you are free to go there. I don't care. I do. I care deeply how you were raised. I care deeply how I was raised. I care deeply about who might have squelched your happiness, who might have sat on you when you got too happy or too silly as a little boy. But on Paul's mind is, look around. Say to the church, complete my joy. I'm stocking my joy. I'm unfolding the deck chair of my own joy. And in a sense, we look at each other and say, help me, church, in this. Because I can't do it alone. Turn your deck chair toward me. I want to feel your deck chair in the sense of its closeness and joy. I want to see you, and I want you to complete your joy, because you're going hard after Jesus Christ and God's glory, and I want you to, therefore I'm getting impact by that. How you may have been raised may make you very shy about buying in to your own pursuit of your joy in Jesus Christ. But God is saying, free that up today, because you glorify me most, not when you're like Aunt, whatever name I gave her. Let's call her Aunt Matilda, okay? No, you glorify Christ most when you're not like that long-faced mule. And people see that with the telescope of your life, you are bringing this distant, almighty God who seems so unknowable to the world and to the culture and sometimes even the church. No, your joy brings him close, and your joy radiates him into the fellowship of the believers. Once you see that your deepening joy glorifies God that way, it would be, would it not, the height of arrogant selfishness and foolishness for you to turn away from seeking your own joy in Jesus. So it's so counterintuitive, isn't it? I've been raised, oh, don't be selfish. Give your candy bar half to your sister, half to your brother. That never worked for me. But this one works for us all. Seek your joy in Jesus Christ. And we're going to come to the Lord's table on that. And I actually had 3,400 words this morning. I knew I wouldn't get to them all, but I wanted to. So we're cutting off here at 2,500. The rest we'll get next week, because they fit wonderfully. Because the way of opening your deck chair, which we'll look at next week, again, is countercultural and counterintuitive. The way you open your deck chair of joy is the way of humility. Thinking of others as more valuable than yourself, more significant than you. Not just thinking of yourself, but thinking of others. And we will look at that next week, because that ties in with having the mind of Jesus Christ, who what? Did not think that alignment in the Blessed Trinity, in the fullness of the experience of the intra-Trinitarian eternal unbroken joy and happiness and complacency and knowledge and love of the Father with the Son and the Son with the Spirit. Oh, it doesn't get any better than that fellowship. He didn't think that was something to be grasped at and held, but he emptied himself. And what? Brought joy to us, and by the resurrection, joy to the Blessed Trinity. So we'll look at that next week. But right now, we're going to pray. And we're going to come to the table of the Lord, knowing that this, much more than it's remembrance of Jesus Christ, but here God has ordained in this sacrament for the blessings and benefits of the joy of Jesus Christ, the comfort of the Spirit, the encouragement of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit in affection and sympathy to be manifested, and all the blessings of the new covenant to be manifested. represented by this bread and this juice, which remains juice and bread, yes, and to be applied through this sacrament and now sealed to you, so your joy will glorify God strongly and mightily. So let's pray and let's come to the table of the Lord. Dear Holy God, we pray now that these elements of bread and juice will be blessed of you, so that we, your people of faith, partake in faith, knowing that Jesus Christ is present with us. We are in union with you, Jesus. Mystical communion, it's a mystery, yeah, but it is as true as the shoes on our feet and as real as the clothes on our body. So we thank you then that you instituted this as a visible sign whereby the invisible grace of God will be multiplied and deepened to us, and we're coming in faith for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.